feels so good to give. I love that even walking up here, there's just a narrow path because there's so many gifts that little kids that aren't going to have anyone giving them anything. Somebody's going to get a gift and maybe ask their parents and say, where'd that come from? And they're going to say, the church. The church gave it. The people of God gave it. They gave me a Tonka truck? Yeah. They love you. And that would be a part of them seeing you more clearly, Lord. We just pray for that. And we give you thanks. And we pray that we would be an unselfish church. We just declare that it is not about us. It never has been. It never will be. And it sure isn't today. And so we just say thank you, God. Because if it was about us, we'd be in worse hurt than we already are. We just thank you. And we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a seat. I got an interesting email a few months ago. And it's always interesting what you get in email because email is all sorts of stuff. But I got this interesting email and this is what it said. It said, hey, I was checking around on Texas Lost Money site for people I knew. And so I put in Greg's name and it came up for College Station. And I figured there weren't too many Greg Motts in College Station, which is true, in 1997. And since the amount is $90 and something, I thought I'd let you know. You can go to the Texas Comptroller site, and I hope that's Greg's money. So I got online, and I went to the Texas Comptroller site, and I found out that was my money. That was $97.50 that I paid extra in taxes or extra in some property deal or extra, you know, property taxes or something like that. Somehow, I had given the state of Texas $97.50 in 1970. I didn't do that. I didn't have any money in 1970. $97.50 in 1997. And in that moment, they had it, and I didn't know that they had it. And so I got online, and I filled out the little form, and I thought, this is great. In 10 minutes, I'm going to make about $100. This is going to be great. So I sent off, and I got it, and sure enough, I got the check back for $97.50. I thought, this is awesome. This is great. So I started putting in people I knew their names, seeing if anybody else had it there. $97.50 came to me. Now, let me ask you this. When was that $97.50 my money? It was always my money. But when could I actually put the $97.50 to use? It was when I discovered it was my money and then I actually put it in my account. And I wonder if many of us in this room, when we talk about spiritual gifts, if you've got $97.50, but you don't know that it's time to spend it, that you've got this money that God has given you, so to speak, with when you're a believer in Christ, that Jesus Christ indwells you and he lives inside your heart and his spirit is inside of you and he has given every single believer in Christ at least one spiritual gift, probably several, but at least one. But we haven't put it to use. It's just sitting on the shelf. It's just dormant. It's just over there. And instead, now in this series, I hope that we can get it off the shelf, put the $97.50 in our wallet and begin to spend it on the kingdom of God. It was always my money. I just didn't know that I had it, and I didn't have the resources to spend it. And that's how we come looking at spiritual giftedness. If you're a believer in Christ, you have it, but you might not know it. And if you have it and know it, you might not be spending it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we're going to look today, we're going to see about spiritual gifts, about what it means and about what they're about. Now, this is a series, so a series by nature means I'm not going to give you the whole enchilada today. We're going to get to the end and you're going to have a comma at the end and you're going to think, well, what does he think about? Well, I'll tell you what I think about later on. But in this series, we've got to look and we've got to see because spiritual giftedness is what the ecclesia of God brings together for us to go forth in his kingdom. And we are scared to talk about spiritual gifts because we're going to get to tongues at some point and we don't understand it. We're going to get to it and I'll help give you some understanding on it. So we don't even talk about it. We just throw the whole thing out because we don't understand that one. So we'll just ditch all the rest of them. So we end up with everybody else just saying, okay, just go and do something. Everybody just go and do something. And when you just go and do something, it's not going to be what you need it to be. Here it is, or what God needs it to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, do not be ignorant. So you, when you were pagans, somehow or another were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one says, speaking by the Spirit of God, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, there are many different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God who works all of them in all men. Now to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Do not be ignorant of spiritual gifts. Don't let it just get out of your mind. Don't be ignorant about it. Don't be dumb about it. You need to know what spiritual gifts are about. Why not be ignorant about spiritual gifts? Don't be ignorant about spiritual gifts for this reason. The spiritual giftedness that God has put in you is the route that He is going to use for the furtherance of His kingdom through you. And when He is furthering His kingdom through you, you will have fulfillment and joy like you've never had before in your life. You will begin to operate in the ways that God has created you to operate so that in your job you can use your spiritual gift even outside the building of the church. In your workplace, in your attitude, in your neighborhood, in your church, in all the places God is using you to further His kingdom. So He's wired you up with a spiritual gift and He says, don't be ignorant about it. Because if you're ignorant about it, you will never have the fulfillment that you need to have in life. You'll never have the joy that He wants you to have in life. And more importantly, the kingdom of God will not go forth through you like it should go. We were a member of a church a while back, and in that membership, we decided we were going to get involved, and we wanted to serve someplace, so they said, well, we want you to serve here. So I was serving punch to fifth graders. That was my service. That was the worst place you could put me. That didn't have anything to do with my spiritual giftedness. I'm walking up with this punch, and I'm giving it to him, and I'm like, quit whining. Yours is as much as is in his. What are you talking about? He got more. Because compassion is just not oozing from me as a spiritual giftedness. Service is not just oozing from me. My wife loved it. It was great. It was great. She's service. She's compassion. All of those sort of things. But when I get to teach the Word of God and I get up here and I get to present it and leadership and teaching comes out of me, I stand here and I think, people will ask me, do you get nervous? And yeah, I get nervous in the sense I'm aware a whole bunch of people are going to be looking at me and taking notes. So I'm aware. But at the same time, when I get to teach, there's something in me that says, this is what I was created to do. This is my finest hour. This is the moment where I'm at my best. This is a moment where God can use. So I just want to put a funnel on my head and let God just pour through and let Him do His thing. And so my spiritual gift gives me great joy. It gives me great fulfillment. It gives, hopefully, the Lord coming through me and teaching so that you could learn and you could grow in your walk and we could grow together as the body of Christ. Whenever I haven't been teaching for a while, there's something in me that goes, whoa, this is weird. I gotta talk to somebody about something. I start journaling. I start writing things. It's got to come out of me. Do not be ignorant of spiritual gifts because it brings joy. It brings purpose to your life selfishly, but selflessly, it gives glory to God. And it allows God to use you for His kingdom. Do not be ignorant of spiritual gifts. Now, the next two verses get a little bit unusual. It says, no one can say that Jesus is cursed by the Spirit of God. And no one can say, unless they have the Spirit of God, that Jesus is Lord. Now, when I think those things through, it's kind of a little bit, I'm like, you know, people that are Christians can stand up and say, Jesus be cursed. People that aren't Christians can stand up and say, Jesus is Lord. I mean, we could say that. What it is saying is this. You, not physically, you cannot say it. Honestly, from your heart, you are unable to say those things. Because the Spirit of God now rests in your life and lives inside of you. So honestly, from your heart, from the core of who you are, you cannot say that Jesus be cursed. When I was studying for this, I was writing in my journal, and I write out the scriptures sometimes, and I wrote out, Jesus be cursed. And as soon as I finished it, I went, yuck! I just scratched it out with everything that I had. I want to die, and somebody picks up my journal and reads. He wrote, Jesus be cursed. I just scratched it out. There was something in my heart and my spirit that said, yuck, no, that's not who I am. He is spirit, lives inside of me, and I can't declare in a civil war that He's cursed. And that's why in the conviction of your life, when you choose as a believer, when you choose sin over holiness, there's something in you that goes, Because what you're saying with your steps is, Jesus, be cursed. Fooey on you. I don't want anything to do with you. I'm going to do my thing. And then the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes and says, that's not what I've created you to do. I've created you to walk in a giftedness and in my Spirit. And so no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. In this day when this was written, you would say, Caesar is Lord, and you'd give sacrifice. Caesar is Lord. And if you didn't say Caesar is Lord, you could die. And so when a Christian stood forth and said, no, Jesus is Lord, they stood on the brink of death. So this verse is saying this, only by the power of God can you stand on the brink of martyrdom. Only by the Spirit of Christ do you have the fortitude to stand on the brink of martyrdom, to say, Jesus is Lord, not Caesar. You're not going to be able to flippantly say that. We say that all the time flippantly in our culture. But in that culture, when you said that, the Spirit of God had to be what was buoying you up. And it had to be His power through you that was making that happen. So He's building the case that this Spirit of God in you and this giftedness of God in you is absolutely powerful and incredible and needs to be depended upon. So what is a spiritual gift? What is it? What is this thing we're talking about? What is a spiritual gift? It is a God-given ability to serve the church and glorify God. A spiritual gift is a God-given ability to serve the church and glorify God. A spiritual gift, this is how I like to put it, for easy to remember. It is Spirit-given and service-driven. It's Spirit-given and service-driven. God has given it through His Spirit that when you became a Christian and invited Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, His Holy Spirit indwells you, and in that indwelling, He's gifted you spiritually with some ability, a gift that He's given to serve the church, to serve ecclesia, to serve the kingdom of God. Whether you're in the building, whether you're in your neighborhood, whether you're in the grocery store, whether you're in your business, whether you're at school, whether you're doing whatever, it doesn't matter. It's spirit-given, service-driven. Listen to it in 1 Corinthians 12:7, verse we just read. Now to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. It is given for the common good. Spirit-given, service-driven. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and following. It says, according to His eternal... Oh, that's Ephesians 3. Sorry, here we go. I was like, whoa, I messed up. Verse 11. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administrating God's grace in its various forms. God has given you a spiritual gift, not to self-serve yourself, not to make your kingdom go forth, not to make you look better, not so everybody goes, wow, you're really good at that, but so that God could use you, and it's Spirit-given and it's service-driven. The reason He's given it to you is to serve Him and His kingdom. That's what it's about. And in that, it is given its salvation. It is a gift. It's a gift. I'm surrounded by gifts. This is amazing. I love this. We were talking in a meeting, and I just said, why don't we have everybody just put their gifts up front? And we thought, how will that work? This is awesome to see it. See it happen. Well, take this gift, for instance. Some little kid's going to get this. He's going to get this hockey stick somewhere in Houston. And he's going to first say, what in the world's hockey? Then somebody's going to tell him. He's going, oh, yeah, great. And he's going to put on his rollerblades because there's not going to be any ice skating happening. He's going to put on his rollerblades, and he's going to grab his little street hockey ball, and he is going to play with this thing, and he's going to use it, and he's going to put it to service, put it to work. I mean, all the baby dolls, the animals, stuffed animals, all this stuff is going to be put, and we've given all these things, but do you know what? There's not any of us in this room that are waiting for a thank you note from this. Hope. There's none of us in this room that are going to be mad and go, man, they played with it so much they broke it. It's a gift. We gave it. It's yours. I'm not going to send my child over to your house to play with it because I gave it to you. It's a gift. It's free. It's given. It's yours. We want these toys to be broken because they've been played with so much. The goal is for these toys to be broken. But do you know that you can never break your spiritual gift? But the goal is for them to be used so much that you feel like, Lord, 97.50, I only got 50 cents left. And then you look at your wallet again, you're like, whoa, you replenished it. I'm back at 100. Wonderful. Great. It's a gift. It's free. You didn't earn it. You didn't get it. You're not worthy of it. You are a steward. So what are some of these gifts? We're going to talk about these all in the coming weeks, but just to give you, Romans 12, 3 through 8 talks about prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, showing mercy. 1 Corinthians 12, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing spirits, tongues, interpretation, apostleship, teaching, serving, administration. Ephesians 4, apostleship, prophecy, evangelism, pastor, teacher. All of these things, they're spiritual gifts that God has given for the service of his body. And we just sit back and go, wow. You mean there's something in me that you want to use for you? I didn't earn it. I didn't get it. I don't know how it happened. I don't know why you gave it, but spirit given and it's service driven. See, what a spiritual gift is, sometimes you can define what things are by defining what they're not. What a spiritual gift is not, a spiritual gift is not a natural talent or ability. A spiritual gift is not a natural talent or ability. It's not a natural talent. A natural talent is something that's given at birth. A natural talent is something that's given at birth. That you've been given this, that you were born with this, that, I mean, as soon as you were just a little guy, you were great at art. You were a little girl and you were great at this or you were great at that. Steffi Graf and Andre Agassi got married. Now listen to some of the facts about Steffi. Third woman in history to win the Grand Slam, which is Wimbledon, the French and U.S. Open, and the Australian Open in 1 year. She won all those. 22 Grand Slam singles titles. All-time tour leader in career earnings. Number one title for the world record. She was number one for a world record 377 weeks. Andre Agassi, 58 titles in singles, 8 Grand Slam titles, former number one on the ATP Tour, named a child prodigy at age 3 in tennis. 3 years old, they're saying he's a child prodigy at age 3. Then they had a baby. I want that baby to be my doubles partner. How about you? I don't care if the baby knows the Lord or not. I want that doubles partner right there. Why? Because it's a natural talent that's at birth, that's been given. That baby's going to be a great athlete. There's a commercial out right now about this child just schooling somebody. And in that, it's a whole different thing. It's given at birth. It's an athletic ability that's given there. If your dad was an engineer and your mom was a neurosurgeon, you're probably going to do pretty good in school. Right? If your mom's an accomplished pianist and your dad is a famous artist, you're probably going to be creative. There's things that happen that you're naturally been gifted with. We could say the word gift. It's a gift of God. But it's a natural talent. It's something from birth you've been given. And in giving that, you go, wow, Lord, that's for you. And that's usable to God. That's usable for the Lord. That's usable for his kingdom. But it's not a spiritual gift. It's not an acquired talent. An acquired talent is a learned skill. It's something that you've learned, you've gotten better at. You're 15, you start taking driver's ed, you learn how to drive a little bit, you got the teacher with the brake on the right-hand side, you're cruising along, there you go. Now you get better as a driver. Now you're such a good driver, you can change a CD, talk on the cell phone, and write in your Palm Pilot, going 70. You shouldn't be doing that, but I must admit. And there you go. I've even had a friend of mine that his wife gave him for Christmas a driving school that he could go to a race car driving school and learn how to be a race car driver to get him ready for the loop, the Katy Freeway and the loop. They can be ready now. Chum, 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 going through. Hey, speed racer, done it. And there he goes. It's an acquired skill. Cooking is an acquired skill. It's not a spiritual gift. It's something that you learn and you can get better at and you can grow in. Don't nudge anybody next to you. Just take it. That you're growing at. You're getting better in. It's an acquired skill. A musical instrument. An acquired skill. It's not a spiritual gift. It's something you practice and you get better at. We got all sorts of musical instruments over here. A guitar. We got three different guitars over here. It's an acquired skill. I'm going to pick this one up. It's kind of the most fun out of them. And it's an acquired thing that... Right? And you kind of... And you just practice and you get a little bit better. Thank you, Houston. Not a lot of Baptist preachers doing that, I can tell you that, on Sunday morning. Brother John had his horn. I got my flying V. Here we go. It's an acquired skill. It's something you get better at as you play and as you go along. Unfortunately, I'm as good as I was in eighth grade at this point. So that's why it sounds like Eddie Van Halen when I'm playing there. You practice and you get better. It's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. But it's not a spiritual gift. Because if it's a spiritual gift, then we have to say that that person that's playing that music, that's playing that guitar, knows the Lord and is using it for his kingdom. And there's a lot of music that's not being used for God's kingdom. And there's a lot of people that are great musicians that have no clue of Christ and are truly anti-Christ, if you could imagine, even going on the way into the spectrum. It's an acquired skill. So a spiritual gift, they're spirit-given. God gives you something. Now, all of these things work together in God's plan. Things that you've been given in birth, things that you've acquired as skill, but then they are given, a spiritual gift is given, and God puts all that package together, so now he's using you in all different ways. So you have the gift of teaching, but the way that you teach is you're in the choir. And so you're teaching us theology and worship and how to worship through song. You have the gift of encouragement. So you stand up here and you sing to encourage the saints. Do you see it? It's not the gift of I sing tenor. A lot of people sing tenor that don't know the Lord. It's a spiritual gift that says, God, I want you to use this acquired ability of singing, this maybe natural at birth gift of singing, with my spiritual gift of teaching and declaring what you want to do through me. And now God starts getting the things all together. And you start just going, okay, Lord, here we go. Here we go. Spirit given, service driven. We have to distinguish between a spiritual gift and a talent. Distinguishing between a spiritual gift and a talent is important. And the way that you do that is you determine what is the power source. Is the power source you, or is the power source God? If you can determine and look back and think, okay, what's the power source of this? There's a power source either of me or God, and so I'm going to determine that there's a spiritual giftedness, or this is just a talent. If it's just me, and it's just my personality, it's just my experience, it's just me doing it, then I'll know that that's not a spiritual giftedness. That might be a talent, that might be an ability, and that's God using it. He can use that. But that's not my bullseye spiritual gift. So when I stand up, leadership and teaching are my strongest gifts. When I stand up and I'm ready, I got my outline, I gave them the PowerPoint slides, they're going to slide up at the right moment, all the things are going to happen. But when I get up here, and I begin to teach, and I allow the Lord to do what he wants to do, there's something that happens that I cannot explain. I can speak to ears, I cannot speak to hearts. and the Holy Spirit of God does something where something will come out of my mouth, a whole thought will come into a sentence that makes sense, hopefully, and all of those things will go, and it will be a spiritual gift that something will happen, that I'll be up here and I'll think, man, that was great. I need to write that one down. I need to remember that. Because God is doing something that can't be explained and has really nothing to do with me. It's just me stewarding and saying, God, use me. Do what you want. You move through me. So whether you're teaching or whether you've got the tray with the punch for the fifth graders, it doesn't matter. Then you're serving and you're giving that. It doesn't mean they're dropping to their knees and saying, oh, if you give me Kool-Aid, what will God give me? Tell me about Jesus. Probably not going to happen. But it does mean when you're giving and you're serving, there'll be something in you that says, you know what? God's using me. This is right. This is my moment. This is my spot. This is my purpose. This is what he's wired me to do. And you'll think and you'll look and somebody will come back and say, you know what? You always serve punch every week and you're always so smiley. And you know what? You reminded me of my mom, and my mom died, you know, about a year after that, and I always thought back on you, or a year before that. And God will do weird, crazy stories that he'll use you in that. But what we do is we minimize the serving gifts and we lift up the public gifts. So the teacher, well, I'm the pastor. Well, of course God's using me. Well, great, but you know what? God, it's going to be really hard if people aren't serving all over this church. I'm just one part of it. It might be a visible part, but all over people are using their spiritual gifts. And then we become ecclesia, the body of Christ going forth arm in arm. You do this, I do that, and now we come together as a team and we look, as we talked about last week, wonderfully average because we're balanced. Determine the power source. Is it you or is it God? When you let God use you and when you let him do his work through you and you discover your spiritual gift and you begin to spend that 97.50, you're going to start going, whoa, God, you're doing great things. I couldn't imagine that you've done these greater things. This is incredible. This is wonderful. Secondly, it keeps things biblical and clear. It keeps things biblical and clear. Determining between a talent and a spiritual gift keeps things biblical and clear. Can I tell you the culture we live in? We live in a culture where we take our experience and then we bring it to the Word of God to find something that'll confirm our experience. That's very dangerous. You go from the Word of God and you look at your experience. You don't take your experience and then bring it and try to find a verse of Scripture. You can find all sorts of verses of Scripture to confirm all sorts of crazy things. This book has got enough scriptures, enough verses, that if you pull out the right ones in the wrong way, you can start getting all sorts of stuff. You can build a case for all sorts of just crazy stuff. You can build a case that God's for slavery. You can build a case for God's against women. You can build a case for all this crazy stuff. That's stuff pulled out of context. That's not what the Bible's teaching. And when we go with our experience back into the scripture, it gets foggy and it gets unbiblical. But when we go from the scripture into our experience, it's clear and it's usable for the Lord. See it? So here's what you do. In determining a spiritual gift or a talent, I come here and there's a big debate of whether the list of gifts is exhaustive or not. I don't know. You can make that decision for yourself. I think it's a pretty good list. It's all covered. This will build the church. We don't need a whole lot of new stuff. So whenever I get in those spots, I just stick with the word and figure, God, if he wanted to do it, he would have said, oh yeah, and a whole lot of other ones too that y'all will come up with later. So I come here and I look and I'm saying, okay, this is a great list. And then I can look at this list and I can come back and say, I'm spiritually gifted in these ways to be used by God. Here's what I see with young folks. I see folks come up to me and I say, well, man, what's your spiritual gift? Man, my spiritual gift's guitar playing. God spiritually gifted me to play guitar. And I go, well, that's not one of the choices. Man, my spiritual gift, you know, I like to paint. That's my spiritual gift. Well, you don't get that one either. And it keeps things biblical and clear because we live in this place where everybody just pops off with all these experience type stuff where it can happen. So it's like, what if my spiritual gift is gardening? Does that mean I come in here and sit on row three and bring some potting soil and during the worship I garden? This is my service to the Lord? I just, whoa, hey, a tomato's popping up week by week. Here it is. This is great. No, I can be talented at gardening. I can be talented at art. I can be talented at music. I can be good at that and always had a green thumb. It could be all of those things. Those can be usable to the Lord. I could go on a mission trip and help somebody in China how to plant their fields because I know gardening and I know how to harvest and do all these things. I can use all of those things. But they're not a spiritual gift. So when I understand my spiritual gift, and I say my spiritual gift is leadership, and I understand horticulture, then great, let's put you on a mission trip to a place where they need to know how to grow food. And you'll lead them to plant, water, and harvest. Do you see it coming together? But if you just stay on whatever you like as a spiritual gift, then it's like it's wacky, weird, quick. Spiritual gift is something that is God-given. The Spirit's given it to you when you were saved. And it's in you, and that 9750 resides in your heart. And you don't have to go to a website to somehow claim it. It's not something you just got better at. It's not something you've always been good at from age 3. It is something God has wired, and in His wiring and gifting you and putting His Spirit in you, He's going to use every experience you have. He's going to use every joy, every love, every talent you have. And all of those things are going to come together because He's perfectly placed you in all the things. And then you're going to step forth and say, wow, God uses me. When I play guitar at a youth camp, all of a sudden, every kid in the world thinks I'm the hero. Is that a spiritual gift? No, but it's a tool. It's a tool to get in their world. And for them to go, whoa, wow. And then when I open up the Word and say, let's look, they go, okay, I'll open up the Word and listen to this guy. Why'd it come from? Because I played a guitar loud and fast. And then God used that to then be a tool that my spiritual gift could go forth. We're going to talk a lot about this. We're going to unpack some stuff. You're going to disagree with me at some point, most likely. That's okay, because I'm going to disagree with you at some point, most likely. So we'll be even. But it'll be the ecclesia of God coming together, joining together and saying, God, use us, powerfully use us to operate in our spiritual gifts. It's time to spend the money of your gift and get to work. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you have gifted us. Thank you so much that we do know you. Lord, we trust you and we love you. And we thank you. We ask God that you would do your work in us. The powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Just a moment, we're going to have our time of invitation. But in verse 4 through 6, I just flat out forgot to